Hello, you guys. I hope you're having an amazing day. It's currently a Sunday, and I'm having the most relaxed Sunday ever. My Sundays consist of, it's the one day of the week where I order myself a coffee, or I go get a coffee. Other than that, I like to make my own coffee at home. Also feels like a treat. Like, if I get a coffee from like a coffee shop every single day, it doesn't feel special to me. So I allow myself one day a week that I can order my coffee and drink it in bed, and honestly just like snuggle the whole day, watch shows, be on my laptop. And I wanted to record this because I'm just in a very chill mood right now. It's very gloomy outside, so it's like perfect weather to do absolutely nothing. I do need to tidy my house because it's so messy. It's like 1 p.m. have not accomplished anything. I just put some under eye patches right now, and I'm honestly taking it so easy. I had a very social week. I had my friends visiting from Florida, and just like being very social this week. I had my trip to Rome to finalize everything for my wedding, which was so exciting. So I'm definitely taking it easy. I feel like it's been a long ass week, and I'm ready to just, you know, give myself all the love I didn't give myself throughout the week, if that makes sense. I feel like that's what Sundays are for. I had an amazing trip to Rome. It was just so nice to be in the sun. It was so warm. The weather was just chef's kiss. I really enjoy sunny weather. Just to wake up and open the blinds and sun coming in your room, and it's so warm, and then you go and drink your cappuccino. I'm lactose intolerant, but in Rome, I have full fat, like normal milk in my coffee because a lot of the places don't carry other alternatives. And I was a bit scared. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna have the worst tummy pains. But honestly, it was fine and it tasted so delicious. I need to start carrying lactates. I used to do that, but I've forgotten. But honestly, they work so well. So I need to remember. The trip was so nice. It was so nice to have my mom there with me. She speaks Italian. She used to live in Rome for like 4 or 5 years, I believe. And it was nice for her to be back and to show us some of her favorite places and where she used to shop and walk around. And my mom is also an interior designer, and she has a really good eye for design. So it was nice for her to get, you know, a sense of what we want to do for the wedding, give us advice, tell us what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And of course, meeting up with my wedding planner for the last time. Her name is Marta. Her Instagram is at Wedding Events Italy. If you're thinking of getting married in Italy, you have to contact her. She's the best. And making sure everything is perfect before the big day. We basically had to do our final food tasting, which is 100% the best part of planning a wedding, just trying out the food. And it's just so delicious. It's the best part, my favorite by far. Then we had to go back to the venue and just make sure the flow is going to be okay. And we need to talk to the band and the photographer, which is something we haven't done yet. But we did speak to the florist. It's just like so many things to consider when planning a wedding that I didn't even know was a thing. For example, I did not know that you have to pay for the electricity. Like, you have to basically rent a generator for the band and, you know, all the music happening, depending, you know, if the venue provides it or not. So we had to rent it. But it's just like those small things that end up being a little bit expensive that you just don't think about when you're planning a wedding initially. So definitely having a wedding planner, I think, is very, very important. Someone that can help you, someone that speaks the language, that has done weddings like that many, many times before in the past. I feel like even if you think you're really good at planning and organizing, getting a wedding planner is something that you definitely won't regret. I've spoken with my friends about it, and they've all agreed that it's the move to get someone to help you do this. Because at the end of the day, it is the biggest day of your life, and you want to have someone like an expert to help you throw something that's going to be really nice. I haven't thrown a party like ever. Like, I think I've thrown one party my entire life with my sister because our birthdays are kind of close. And we were like, I think I must have been like 6 years old, but I have not thrown a party since then because I do have social anxiety. Like, my biggest fear is like no one's going to show up. So I hate throwing parties and stuff like that. But my husband is an expert at parties. So I'm trusting him, making sure everything is perfect. My advice for anyone that wants to throw a wedding is don't rush it. There's no point in rushing something that you want to be super special. I would say the ideal time is give yourself a year and a half. Like, I know it sounds like a long ass time. You won't regret it. You want to take your time, find the perfect venue and the perfect dress and do everything your own pace. Of course, if you're really quick and you want to get it over with, or you're super excited and you want to do it soon, do that. But if you have a little bit of social anxiety like I do and you want things to be really perfect and the way that you've imagined it, take your time. You won't regret it. Like, if I were to get proposed around this time, I would want my wedding to be next September, if that makes sense. And honestly, another thing that I didn't know was such a big deal is venues get booked up so freaking fast. Our wedding venue only had one day available, and that's what we chose. And we chose that place more than a year in advance. So everything gets booked up so fast. So in order to get your dream wedding, give yourself some time, and then hopefully you can get a date. And also make sure you plan at least 2 to 3 visits at the location if you're doing like a destination wedding, just to make sure everything is amazing. amazing and the way you want it to be. Okay, enough about the wedding talk. I think I'm going to dedicate an episode just on weddings and wedding planning after the wedding and just giving you all the tea and all the advice that I have. So for today's episode, I wanted to talk about relationships and give you some dating advice. I feel like I've done an episode talking about relationships in general, but I wanted to be a little more specific and answer some of your guys' questions about relationships and dating and all that good stuff. Okay, let's start with the first question that I was asked, and it's, I'm curious to hear your opinion about hidden or secret relationships. There is something that rubs me the wrong way if a guy's like, oh, I want to keep you a secret, or don't post me, this and that. Like, you are the prize. Like, if a guy's not proud to be with you, then you're with the wrong guy. Because trust me, there's going to be so many guys that will be so freaking proud to be with you and will want to post you and introduce you to their friends and take you around and treat you the way that you should be treated. Of course, there's like instances where I do kind of get it. If you're like a public figure, I don't know, maybe Harry Styles, and you want to keep it, you know, very private for paparazzi reasons, or you don't want the press. I don't know. There's, of course, exceptions to the rule. But let's be honest, like random Jake from Connecticut does not need to hide you for any reason. I was once dating this guy and he introduced me to someone like a lot older. I think it was like, I don't know, like his teacher or whatever, as his friend, which I know is so innocuous. It's like a teacher. It's awkward. But I don't know. It just like rubbed me off the wrong way. I think I must have been like 19 at that point. Of course, like I totally get it. Like it's his teacher, but something about it, I felt like I was a secret and I didn't like that feeling. And then when I started dating my husband, I just felt so good in my tummy because like he would be so proud to introduce me as his girlfriend and introduce me to all his friends and take me out to dinners with his friends. And it just felt good. I don't think I would be down for a guy wanting to keep our relationship private because I'd be like, what are you hiding? Who are you hiding from? Are you talking to other girls? I feel like that's where my mind would go. Because unless you're a celebrity, there's no reason to have a secret relationship, I think. And maybe like, I don't know, like hiding it from your parents if you're, you know, 16 or something. What's meant to be will be. It's what keeps me going during a breakup. I love that. I'm a huge believer that if someone is meant to be, it will be. Practicing non-attachment during a breakup, I think, is key in order to get over someone, and realizing that they were there to teach you a beautiful lesson, create some amazing memories, and it's okay to let them go. We're only on this earth for such a limited time that the best thing we can do is create beautiful soul connections, learn from them, grow from them, and when they end, you practice gratitude for all the beautiful moments you spent together. And it can be incredibly hard, but you let them go. I believe that the universe has a bigger plan for all of us. And if a person leaves your life, it's for another person to come in that, you know, might enhance your life in many beautiful ways and many ways you didn't even know existed. So I feel like treating a breakup this way is very healthy. And it's also a way to attract more beautiful people in your life and welcome new energy, new people to come in a very healthy way. Next question is, I'd love to hear your advice on little special things to do for your partner. I think it's very important to understand what your partner's love languages are. So for example, my way of showing love is like gift giving. I love getting my partner little gifts, whether it's like something he mentioned he really liked, or I see something and I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna love this. Or from literally going to the supermarket and getting, you know, his favorite candy, his favorite chocolate, or his favorite wine. But then I realized like that's not the way my husband receives love. He loves acts of service. So that's whether me giving him a massage at night or making him his coffee in the morning. Everyone receives love differently. I feel like finding out what your partner's love languages are, how they receive and give love, is step number one. And then I truly feel like the most special things are the smallest things that don't really require a lot of money. It could literally be you writing a little note to your boyfriend, you know, before you go to work, like on his coffee mug, like, love you, I'll see you later, I miss you already, like something small. Or making his favorite cookies, for example. If you know he loves like board games or puzzles, you like make a personalized puzzle with one of your photos and you guys get to like make it together, and that could be like a fun little date night idea. It's all about listening. When you listen to your partner and listen to what they truly like and enjoy, that's when you become the best at, you know, getting them little things and doing little things in the relationship that is really going to make it special. Best advice for when you move in together. I did a TikTok on this and it got a lot of backlash. I basically spoke that one of the first things we discussed before moving into our house is like how we're going to split rent, and people got really mad about it. I do not get it. Like, are we stuck in the 1950s? I don't think there's anything wrong with paying rent or contributing to the bills. I think it's very normal and, you know, it should be normalized. Living in London and living in the States is very expensive. Bills are high. The rent is high. And I make my own money. What's wrong with, you know, splitting the rent? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So number one thing to discuss, I do think, is how you're going to split the bills and the rent. So every first of the month, it's not like an awkward moment when someone has to ask for the money. You just know to pay the landlord. Also discuss chores, like who's going to do what. For example, example, I hate taking out the trash. That's like the one thing I never want to do is take out trash. So my husband knows that he needs to take out the trash. I mean, I'll tie it for him, you know, I'll leave it next to the door. That's about it. And my husband hates folding the laundry. So that's definitely my thing to do. Another very important thing that I feel like sometimes people don't discuss is discussing like personal space. For example, I love being alone. I recharge by like chilling by myself. So I need like one day of the week where I can just like do my spa at home, put on a face mask, watch Real Housewives, and just chill. And he loves to spend time with his boys. So that's like totally fine. It works perfect because I can have my days at home. He can go chill with his boys. It works out perfectly. So also discussing that dynamic, I think is very important. Another thing is maybe routines. Like if your partner has to get up super early for work, maybe talk about that. Like maybe you like to wake up a little bit later. So how is that going to work? For example, if one of you is a doctor, your schedule might be like a little bit crazy. My best friend and her boyfriend are both doctors. So it works out perfectly because their schedule is very, very crazy. Like sometimes she works from like 9 p.m. till 6 in the morning, and the same with her boyfriend. So really make sure you communicate that with your partner and you're both on the same page. Another amazing, amazing question is how to maintain your self-identity in a long-term relationship. I have seen one too many friends literally lose themselves in relationships. Like my friendship with them is gone. And I feel like that's a sign that maybe it's not, you know, the perfect relationship, because I truly feel like the most amazing relationships are the ones that they make you feel like yourself and they make you feel like an even better version of yourself. You never feel like you lose yourself in the relationship. You only feel yourself like flourishing through it. I think number one thing is never stop hanging out with your friends. If you become that person that gets in a relationship and completely forgets all the friends, I feel like that's the easiest and fastest way to lose yourself. Prioritizing at least like 2 times a week where you just have a coffee, lunch, dinner with your girlfriends is so essential. It honestly like keeps me sane. And of course, if your schedule is really busy, maybe, you know, once every other week or whatever works for you. Also having a life outside your relationship when it comes to hobbies, having things that you love and enjoy doing that, you know, have nothing to do with your partner. Maybe it's pottery, Pilates, like workout classes, going on, you know, your hot girl walks, listening to podcasts, just something that doesn't involve your partner. Another thing is, of course, nowadays people have jobs and they're busy, but like not spending 24/7 together is also another thing. Having healthy boundaries with your partner that you enjoy and love spending time together, but it's not like you're glued to the hip and, you know, you can't go 1 hour without them. Spending time alone, like not even with your girlfriends or your partner, just alone. Painting, listening to music, like order one of those adult coloring books and just color it and, you know, drink your wine or your kombucha, whatever you like. Just spend time alone. The best time alone, I feel like, is when you don't even have a show on or you're not even that entertained. It's just like you and your thoughts. You can paint, you can do whatever you like. And the cherry on top is having a partner who gets it, who understands you, who's on the same page with you and doesn't want to lose himself in the relationship either. Respects your time alone, respects that you need to do your girls' night outs. You need to have your own hobbies, that doesn't, you know, get angry when you want to do all those things. Because if they do, then I think that's a sign that it could be a toxic relationship if he doesn't like you spending time with your girlfriends or he doesn't like you spending time alone or doing anything without him. Those are things you really need to consider when getting into a relationship. Another one I got that definitely, you know, relates to this is trust your motherfucking gut. Always, never ignore red flags. And I definitely agree, especially when it comes to red flags. I do feel like they are presented to us very early in the relationship and we just choose to ignore them because we like to romanticize the other person. We create this like imaginary version of them that's not even true. Another question I got is how to deal with your boyfriend going clubbing and festivals without you. That is something that I've definitely struggled with before. Like I used to get very like jealous, but my thing is like, I would never show it. I'd be like, have fun, babe. Like, love you. And like inside, like my heart, I'd be like, oh my God, like I would be dying, but I never, ever, ever voice it because I wouldn't want to, you know, sound crazy. I wanted to be like that chill girlfriend that just like was so chill. And honestly, it's something that I've really worked through in therapy. And I feel like it all comes down to just like being confident and being secure with yourself. I'm a true believer that if a guy wants to cheat, like he will find a way to cheat. Like you could be together 24/7 and he could be texting you 24/7. But if he wants to cheat, he's going to cheat. It's just something that I keep in my mind. I'm like, you know, if he wants to do it, he'll do it one way or the other. Me stopping him from going clubbing and going to festivals is not going to change anything. And it all comes down to trust as well. Like you have to truly, truly trust your partner. Know that, you know, in whatever scenario, you trust them. Because if you don't, then maybe it's not the right relationship for you. You should be able to trust your partner in whatever situation you're in. And then circling back to confidence. If he wants to do that, if he wants to cheat on you or do something, you know, unwarranted, then that's on him. Truth always comes out. That's like one thing I'm a true believer, that the truth will always, always come out. You don't don't need to go through his phone or do any of that. The truth will come out one way or the other. And if he's dumb enough to cheat on you, then he does not deserve you. And at the end of the day, it will only be his loss. I don't think you should like bombard them and call them a million times, text them and this and that. It's something that you need to work like inside. It's an inside job. I think people should have fun. Like you should be able to go out clubbing. Same with him. It's something that you need to work on. It's not easy and it takes a lot of time, but it's worth it. And you'll never regret doing the work inside where you don't get jealous, you are confident, you are secure in your relationship is only going to make your relationship 1,000 times better. I've gotten so many questions on like how to overcome jealousy, which I think maybe kind of relates to the last question. And it truly all comes down to doing the inner work, you know, becoming confident, building a life outside your relationship, building a life that you're proud of, not relying on a man for anything. That's like one of the things my mom taught me when it comes to friendships, relationships, like finances, always be independent and knowing your worth, knowing how special you are, knowing that the love that they get from you, they won't be able to get anywhere else. Not because of, oh, I'm better than anyone else, but because you truly feel confident in yourself and secure in yourself and who you are, knowing what you offer is so special and your love is pure. And if they're stupid enough to do something they shouldn't do, then they don't deserve you in the first place. And there's going to be someone who worships the ground that you walk on in a healthy, positive way and truly loves you for who you are and makes you feel secure and makes you feel safe. When you're in that toxic relationship, you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to find someone better or this and that. You feed yourself all those lies that are absolutely not true. You will find someone. Trust me. And I know it sounds a little bit annoying, but also overcoming jealousy becomes easier as you get older because you do get a little more mature and you do get to love yourself a little more. When you know better, you do better. That's like one of my favorite quotes. The more you know about yourself, the less I feel like jealous you become and insecure. So even if you feel those feelings, don't beat yourself down. Don't feel upset and speak mean words to yourself because you don't deserve that. What to do if you're not attracted to your boyfriend? Break up with him. Life is too damn short not to be attracted to your boyfriend. It's not worth it, I'm telling you. My dad always says you must be lovers and best friends at the same time with your partner. I do kind of agree with that. My husband is definitely my best friend and we just like joke around and play around all the time. When you're best friends and lovers, the communication is amazing. You get to speak about everything and talk about things that maybe in past relationships you didn't feel comfortable talking about. They're your best friend. They're the first person you call when something amazing happens to you. They're there for you if anything happens, but you have all your inside jokes and your games and you tease each other and play with each other. I think those are the best relationships and the most fun ones. Still not over a guy after 2 years. How do I move on? Honestly, sometimes it takes people a long time to get over someone, but I do think it's very important to not look at their social media. Do not look at their stories. Do not look at old conversations. Do not look at photos. Just like literally act like they never existed. Like I feel like that's what works for me. So stop stalking them or like their new girlfriend or whatever. Act like they do not exist. Every time you think about them, I literally physically shake your head and start thinking about something else. Have that one thought that you go to immediately after you start thinking about them. And by practice, and if you do that every single time that you start thinking about him, you're going to see that you're going to get over them a lot faster. Create little tricks for your mind that whenever you think about them, you literally immediately switch. Switch your thinking, start thinking about something else. Your opinion on online dating. I think it's great, especially in 2023. Meeting people is hard, especially nowadays. People, I think, don't come up to you in bars and clubs anymore. People are shy. People have social anxiety. People don't leave their house. So I think online dating is awesome and you get to meet people that you wouldn't normally meet. You connect with people all over the world. I think it's great. How to fight fair with a partner. I feel like I've spoken about this before, but my favorite way to deal with an argument or a fight with my husband is we always say that it is us versus the problem. We are a team. It's us versus the problem. It's never me versus him. I think that's the best way to have an argument. Also, another thing we do is no like cussing, like, you know, cussing at each other or saying like, you're an idiot or you're an asshole. Never. You can say like, you're acting maybe like an asshole, but never characterize the person, characterize the action. I grew up in a household where even when my parents fought, they would never ever like cuss each other. Like it would never be like a fuck you. So it's something that really, really like bothers me if I'm fighting with someone to say that. It's like very strange to me. So it's something I really do not like to do. Have it be more like a conversation rather than a fight. Even if that means that you need to take a little bit of time to think about what you want to say, you need to cool off. I think that's totally normal. Take as much time as you need in order to have a very civilized argument. Okay, I feel like I'm going to answer one more question before I wrap this up. And it's, if a first date is just okay, do I give it another try or quit? Definitely give it another try. People are nervous on their first dates. I've definitely been nervous on first dates where I feel like I haven't been my truly authentic self. People want to say the right thing. They don't want want to make it awkward or say something that you won't necessarily like. It's all acting on the first date, right? I think so. So if a date was just okay, definitely give it another shot. Maybe they were shy. They didn't show who they truly are. They didn't show maybe how funny they are or charismatic. So I think if it was just okay, go on another date, see how they are, and then you can rethink if you want to see them again or not. First dates are basically like job interviews a little bit for dating. So it's normal if someone is a bit shy or not their true self. There's so many more questions I got that I definitely want to answer. So maybe I'll do a part two next week. Let me know if that's something you're interested in or if you want me to talk about something else. I hope you guys are having an amazing day whenever, wherever you're listening to this podcast. And I can't wait to speak to you all again next week. I love you.